of Vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K26. It's myself, Mo Moonsi, alongside me as always, the legendary coach, Mr. Brendan Sir. How you doing, coach?
Doing great, Mo. Doing great. Ready for a big, big, big show. Basketball is all through the States and I'm sure all through the UK.
Oh, it's worldwide. It's worldwide. Right now, I'm looking at the March Madness bracket, coach. We got the Final Four settled. We got UConn versus Illinois. UConn winning at the buzzer, basically, in a crazy upset on Duke, up against Arizona and Michigan. Talk to me about what's going on over there on the college side of things.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. Are Arizona and Michigan playing in the first game? No. Are they in the semifinals?
It's UConn, Illinois on the 4th of April, and then Arizona, Michigan on the 5th. Oh, it's the 3rd and the 4th for you. For me, it's different times. Do you know what I mean? So they're both on the 4th of April for you.
No, but I mean the pairings are Michigan, Arizona?
Yeah. Oh, two number one seeds.
Yeah, I know. But that's terrible. That is so sad. Because they're the two best teams, I think, you know, on paper. I think they are. That's a shame. That's a finals game.
Well, only one team can advance. Who's going to make it to the finals, coach?
I like Illinois. I really like Illinois. They're playing great. Either one that comes out there, Arizona and Michigan, nothing would surprise you. Michigan is, they just have had both great years. And Michigan has just been... they are the biggest team we have in the college game, pretty much. Them in Illinois, believe it or not. And so we got four good teams. If Duke had made it instead of UConn, it would have been insane. But UConn earned it coming from 15 back. So great Final Four in Indianapolis. Great venue for the Final Four in our country. Great city to have it in. Because, as you know, tremendous number of hotels, great restaurants, and they get to play in our football, Indianapolis Colts Stadium, a dome stadium. We'll have about 75,000 for the semifinals and finals, sold out.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
I'm going to have to press you for a winner, though, coach. Who's going to be named champions of the NCAA tournament?
Oh, you're doing it. I mean, because by our next show, I'll feel like an idiot. But I do business with all four schools, okay? So I don't want to do that, man. It's hurting my business, coaching you business, so I don't want to do that. I love all four, and they all love our Coaching You Plus app, and I really don't. Danny Early leads the country, the coach of UConn leads the world in the most hours spent on our app watching.
Wow. Learning. Well, that's why he's so great at what he does.
For like 3 years.
That's insane.
The guy is just incredible. He's a savant. And it was really fun to watch him at the end of the game just drawing up ball plays. They actually won on a luck play. But, I mean, they stole the ball and they won the game on that. But to get him in that position, fantastic. You know.
Well, if you want to be able to know basketball like Dan Hurley, make sure you go and get the Coaching You app. Coaching You Plus. Whilst you're in the mood to download things, check out the Steam store, the PlayStation store, or the Xbox store, because the spring sale from 2K is now here. That's right. NBA 2K26 is now 67% off. Go and get your copy if you haven't already, as well as all of the other games, or most of the other games, on the 2K roster. So make sure you go check that out whilst we're there. Let's talk some NBA, coach.
Okay.
Let's talk some NBA, coach. I just got back from calling the Clippers versus Bucks game, where aside from Gary Trent Jr. shooting the absolute lights out of the building, it was basically a wash, right? The Clippers destroyed them, as they have been doing to teams recently. And I was thinking about this morning. They started the season, the LA Clippers, 6-21. Ty Lue said they need to go 35-20 the rest of the way. There's seven games left, and the rest of the way, so far, they've been 33-15. So they might even exceed the expectations set by Ty Lue. But when he made that prophecy, nobody believed him. Outside of Clipper fans, nobody believed him. Oklahoma City was celebrating getting that number one pick in the draft. And now, look, and coincidentally, since Chris Paul left, they got their season back on track. But we're not going to go down that path.
No.
But please. Credit to Ty Lue. Jeff Van Gundy, but also the players. Kawhi Leonard, he's played, what, 59 games now. Darius Garland has been fantastic since they traded for him. Benedict Mathurin has led the league in scoring off the bench since he went over to the Clippers. Brook Lopez, now with Zubac's over in Indiana, Brook Lopez has been solid as ever, defying time. The entire team has really stepped up. And if they hadn't had a 6-21 start, just imagine where they'd be in the standings.
I give them a lot of credit. When a coach says something like that to go 35-20, you know, when they get off to the other start where they're 15 below 500, you say, boy, wishful thinking. But Ty's a hell of a coach, and he's been with the Olympic team here, and the players in this league, who I judge a lot of things by, they think the world of this guy as a coach. Man, that's pretty damn good when that happens. So I give the guy a ton of credit. Jeff Van Gundy, it's great to see my friend. He's a defensive genius. And Jeff is, it's like having another head. It is having another head coach on the bench. So that's such a huge advantage for them. They have a really good coaching staff, by the way. Garland, I give him a lot of credit because it's not easy to change during the season, especially when you're hurt. And then to go and change, and then all of a sudden your career gets jump-started, I think, because a lot of people were saying they don't know where this guy's career is going. Even though he had been an all-star, the people in the league were thinking a little too small and he doesn't guard anyone. And now all of a sudden to put these numbers up is huge. Brook Lopez, everyone in the league loves Brook Lopez because he's a pro. And Ben Mathurin, I'll tell you what, he is something else, boy, because that guy can flat out score the ball.
Mm-hmm. Since joining the Clippers, Darius Garland leads the league in three-point percentage. Before tonight's game, he was shooting at 57, 58% from downtown.
That's insane.
And when you think about it, the majority of his threes are off the dribble. He's hitting really a quick combo move and then pulling up. It's not like Luke Kennard, who's catching and shooting. No, he's shooting them off the dribble. So credit to the Clippers. Do you think the Clippers are a threat in the first round? I don't know if there's enough games left for them to creep up into the sixth seed. It would rely on Houston losing a whole bunch of games. But they're going to end up facing San Antonio or OKC. We saw them in the first round last year looking a little dangerous. Do you think they're a threat to either of those teams, though?
You know, I think Zubac made them a huge threat against teams with centers. Brook's not a low post player. He's more a perimeter three-point shooting center, but he's a really solid defender. I don't think they are, but let's put it this way. They're capable of going and winning on the road.
With a healthy Kawhi Leonard, they're capable of winning anyway.
That guy is all pro, top five, six MVP, my opinion. You know, which is pretty incredible. So, you know, when you have those kind of that much talent on your team, I'd say they got a shot. Their numbers of people being healthy is the key for them to be competitive.
Well, you mentioned MVP. And, you know, since, I guess, Thanksgiving, when Kawhi got healthy and started playing like this, if he had done this the whole season long, he might be in the MVP conversation.
Sure.
But the MVP conversation has got a little spicy this week with Victor Wembanyama coming out to the media and advocating for himself to be MVP. And this is the reasons he gave. The first reason is that defense is 50% of the game and it is undervalued so far in the MVP race. I agree with that wholeheartedly, that the MVP is way too focused on scoring. Do you agree?
Absolutely.
Okay. The second argument is that he almost swept OKC in the regular season, dominated them three times with their real team, which, you know, when you look at the MVP...
4 out of 5, they've beaten them.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
When you look at the MVP, sometimes it does come down to the key headline matchups. How did these guys fare when they went up against each other? Like, I think Jaylen Brown really impressed me when he went up against Shea in that win against OKC last week. So those big games mean something. Even though people don't put an emphasis on regular season, they mean something to the players. And the third argument he had was that offensive impact is not just points.
1,000. I agree with that too.
So all of his three reasons are very valid. Coach, if I had to ask you to rank MVP candidates right now, if you had a ballot, how would you do your top five?
I am going to go top five. Okay. I'm going to go Wimby, Shea.
Oh, at one.
Yes. Wimby, Shea, Jokic, Kawhi, Luka.
Okay.
No, my bad. Jaylen Brown in the fourth spot, and then Luka in the fifth, and with a tie with Kawhi.
Yeah. I think Kawhi's played 59 games now, so...
Yeah, yeah, you know, and it's assuming everyone gets their games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because Cade Cunningham was in the mix before he got injured.
And I don't think he's going to get back.
You know,
season.
Yeah, I don't think he will. I've been thinking about this. The first point that Wemby made specifically, being the most valuable player in the league... And I understand what Luka Doncic is doing. And I'm a huge Luka fan. Everyone knows I've been on the Luka train from before anyone knew who Luka was, right? I saw him play at Real Madrid when he was a child, okay? I'm a huge Luka Doncic fan. But to be the MVP of the league is to say you are the best player in the NBA this season. I don't believe that you can be the MVP of the league or should be the MVP of the league if you are a defensive liability to the extent that Luka can be at times. Now, over this recent stretch, he's not been as bad as usual on defense. But I get it. He's putting up... The month of March, he's averaging 37 points a game. This is an insane scoring rate, right? But I agree with what Wemby says in the first statement he made, that defense is 50% of the game. So I like to think about this with MVP. Coach, if we were starting an NBA franchise today, say we owned Seattle Supersonics, right? And Adam Silver said to us, you can pick any one player in the entire league to start your franchise with. Who are you picking?
Wemby.
There we go.
And like I told you during the season, and if you, there was no such thing as a salary cap, and you could do what I believe you can do in Europe is in football. And when you transfer contracts, I would play £1 million to get Wembanyama.
Coach.
£1 billion.
I think that's more like it.
When you have as much money as I do, I get confused with the numbers. £1 billion. I believe he's that valuable. And I don't 100%. Think there's anyone within, I don't think there's anyone that's in the 200 area.
Yeah. So if we all have the consensus that if we were starting a team, we would want Wembanyama on our team.
Sure.
Then logic dictates that he is by default the MVP. Because that would make him the most valuable player in the league.
I agree.
You know, and that's an interesting way to think about it now that you mention it. If they did football style transfers and you had to pay a transfer fee, who would command the highest fee out of all the players?
Yeah, and it would be him by far. Not even close. And no disrespect to anyone else. But I mean, actual dollar for dollar, pound for pound, that's what I would think it would be. Because, and again, height, age, charisma, intellect, he's got the whole package. And he's really verbal. I mean, he's really doing a great job articulating. He's a great teammate. One of the best teammates we have in the league, I think.
Yeah. And the thing is, his impact on the court is never going to truly show up in the stat sheet. It is ridiculous when you see players intimidated by Wembanyama on the defensive end where he can look at them and they'll decide to pass the ball. It's like we've never seen this before to this extent. Well, I haven't at least anyway. It is ridiculous. And then on the offensive side of things, the only reason why you might pick someone else over Wemby for the MVP is the minutes played. Because the other guys have played significantly more minutes, total minutes, than Wembanyama has. So then you get into the argument of the impact he makes in his minutes versus the totality of minutes played, right? And I guess it just goes down to personal criteria of how you decide MVP.
That's the problem. There's no criteria, unfortunately, because for MVP.
I think you could make a case for any of these guys. I could make a convincing argument for any of these guys. I could make a convincing case to say Jaylen Brown should be the MVP.
Sure.
Because I think any other team in the league who loses their superstar doesn't maintain second place in their conference with just one guy.
I don't disagree.
And there's people who then bring advanced statistics and say this and this. And no, watch the games and understand how this game works. I can make a convincing case for all five of those guys.
Yeah.
They're all having fantastic. There's so much talent in the league right now. And there's so much talent in college basketball that we were just talking about March Madness.
But this is phenomenal. I mean, this is some MVP race. And the thing that we talked about early in the year, the only thing about Shea and OKC that I worried about in the beginning is, will they have to exert so much pressure in the regular season to get their seeding?
Mm.
And let me tell you this, they can't afford to lose a game.
They're two games ahead of San Antonio right now.
And right now, because if they tie with them, San Antonio has home court. They get the number one seed. And I'll tell you what, if they have the number one seed, we talked about how young they are. They have no playoff experience. BS. Throw that crap out. They're going to win this damn thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I talked about the talent in the league and the talent in college because half the league have one eye on the NBA draft rather than playoffs. We're here worried about seeding. The other teams are worried about what's going on in college. Because this week, the NBA presented three comprehensive anti-tanking concepts to its board of governors, which they, of course, leaked to Shams Charania to gauge public opinion before they make a decision. So let's go through each of these three radical proposals and let us tell the people what we think.
Well, let's tell the league office what we think.
They're listening.
Yeah.
We know they're listening. Someone texted me this week and they said, the three proposals are terrible. The podcast you guys did about tanking, you have better proposals. Why doesn't the NBA hire you as a consultant? And I said to them,
they can't afford you, Mo.
I wish.
See, it's we're recording this. It's so early in the morning for Mo. It's so late at night, early in the morning, but that's why I tried to make him laugh.
Nights Go and ahead. Mornings are the same for me. And I said to them, the league will never hire me as a consultant because all they have to do is listen to the podcast to find out what I'm thinking.
That's true. Okay.
I'll give you $1 million worth of game out for free. So the first proposal that they have.
Okay.
18 teams, the bottom 10 that missed the play-in tournament and the 8 that qualify for it will all be part of the draft lottery. Okay, so the teams who don't make the play-in or anything are going to be in the lottery, as well as the play-in teams. The play-in teams will be in the lottery, right? The bottom 10 teams, so the 5 in each conference who don't make the play-in, will have an equal 8% chance of moving up in the lottery, with the remaining 20% of the odds being split among the 8 play-in teams in descending order from 11th through 18. All 18 spots will be drawn as part of the lottery in that format. Do you know why this is so stupid?
I can tell you a few, but go ahead.
If I'm the 10th seed, why would I try and win games at the end of the year if you're telling me that I can bump up my lottery odds by just losing a couple and finishing 11th instead of 10th?
Absolutely.
Oh, no, guys, we tried to make it to the play and we missed out by half a game. Oh, but look, our lottery odds just got way higher. Ridiculous. The second part of that, the lottery system and the NBA draft is designed for the worst teams to be able to turn their franchise around by acquiring talent that they couldn't otherwise acquire. Why do you want to give a play-in team who's on the cusp of being a playoff team the same chance or a similar chance to getting that number one pick?
100%.
It doesn't make any sense. Do you have anything to add to that one?
No, I think, you know, unfortunately, I don't mean to be mean-spirited, but the people that are making this decision don't know shit about basketball. Okay? Many of them have never played. They've never coached. They've never known what it's like sitting on the bench for 82 games. They don't know how hard it is. There's not a coach in the league that wants to lose a game. Okay? Not a player in this league wants to lose a game. Now, there's others, mainly as Adam Silver, Commissioner Silver, who I love dearly, said, the advanced analytics people, the people that we brought in from out somewhere, we brought them into the league. Some teams have 30 and 40 of them now. They're the ones that are now sitting there with their spreadsheets, with their computers, and they're figuring out, if we do this, we got a 14% chance to get AJ DeMonts or any of the players that are people rate highly, Darren Peterson, Boozer, et cetera, whatever their taste is. okay, that's fine that they're doing that. But when you're out there and you're in front of players and you're coaching them and you're sitting through that game and you're trying to win because your credibility is at stake, and you go through a whole season of that and you're losing every game. I speak to coaches every day that are in this situation of not making the playoffs, and they are sick to their stomach. Because you know why? They're out there and they're losing. Teams have traded away half of their roster. And now they're going out and getting their brains beat in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is, you know what? Let nature take its course. You can do this from now until whenever. There is no system to fix this. Well, none. Zero. You can change the odds on the balls and all that shit. You know, you can do all that. But you know what? The key is to reward the teams that are poor and let them try to get talent till they can catch, because they want equity. And that's what the purpose is. Reward talent.
Well, if you thought that it couldn't get worse, coach, instead of 18 teams in the lottery, the second proposal thinks that 22 teams should be in the lottery.
I bet that's suggested by a lot of teams that might be at the top of the league. Just a thought.
22 teams, the bottom 10 teams that missed the play-in tournament, the 8 that are in the play-in tournament, and the 4 teams that lose in the first round of the playoffs.
Oh, the first round, if you lose, you get...
Okay. Will all be included. So you can go and lose a first round playoff series and be rewarded with the number one pick. And they will be ranked according to their records across 2 seasons. So to get rid of tanking, you don't have to tank for 1 season. You have to tank for 2. If you want AJ Devanta, don't be bad this year. You got to have been bad last year and this year. If you want a number one pick next year, be bad this year and next year. How about that? it is how the WNBA weighs its lottery system. I don't know too much about how the NBA lottery goes. But this is what it says. Under this proposed system, each team would need to reach a minimum win floor total in each season to mitigate the need to lose every game. For example, if the minimum floor for an individual season was 20 wins, a team that went 14-68 would be 20-62 for lottery purposes. And if a team wins 40 games one season and 20 games the next season, it would go in as a 30-win team for lottery. I'm already getting confused by this. It's ridiculous. You're basically saying, okay, you have to win 20 games a year. But if you don't, we're going to say you've won 20 games and just be bad for 2 years and you'll get the best odds. This makes tanking worse.
Yeah. You know, we have a thing over here, and I hope you don't have it in the UK. One of our major flaws in sports here is that if you play as a kid in youth sports, everybody gets a trophy, even if your team sucks and you suck. Okay, that's not the way sports are. There's a winner and a loser in games, et cetera. And the best teams win championships, they get rings. And the teams that finish last, you better get your stuff together so you can win.
Mm-hmm.
Or else, guess what happens? They get new coaches, they get new general managers, et cetera. And we get new players. You know, hey, owners buy teams because they want to win. You don't, I mean, wouldn't it be nice? I own 2 businesses. Wouldn't it be nice if I'm not making any money and someone said, you didn't make any money, but guess what? We're going to help you make money. We're going to give you some money. Huh? Come on. It's not, I mean, that. So 0-2 in proposals.
Okay.
Get Shams on the phone.
No, I do not want to get Shams on the phone. Thank you. Number 3.
My NBA Sprite almost went out of my mouth and my nostrils. Yes,
the Sprite is now the official drink of the NBA.
I
know, but
that's why I drink it. They send me some.
But also, feel free to share them my email address. But I'm joking. I don't drink Sprite. But it's also the official drink of the EuroLeague. So let's just go slightly off on a tangent. It signed a partnership as the official drink of the EuroLeague as well.
Good.
So cool. They're hedging their bets because they don't know if NBA Europe's going to happen. So now Sprite, which I believe is owned by the Coca-Cola company.
Yes, it is.
Because I think it's easier to advertise Sprite because it's not as bad as Coca-Cola in people's minds, right? Like, okay, cool. We're going to advertise Sprite because it's zesty and fruity and it's got lemons and limes in. It's not the black tar of Coca-Cola that we want your children to drink.
Hey.
So we're going to market Sprite to you through the athletes. But anyway, they sponsor both leagues. And now Adam Silver saying they want to collaborate with the EuroLeague. Anyway, we'll get into that in a future episode.
Okay.
The third proposal.
We might have lost our sponsor here, Mo, for the show, Sprite.
Well, they didn't reply to my email, so they could.
All right. Proposal three.
I drink water while I play NBA 2K26. I'll have you know. Thank you very much. Proposal number three is a 5x5 method.
Okay.
In this one, the same 18 teams from the first concepts, the bottom 10 that miss the play-in plus the 8 that make it, would be entered into the lottery. The teams with the five worst records would then all have the same odds. Okay, so you flatten the odds for the worst five teams. And there would be a lottery drawing each of the top five picks in the draft. After those five picks are selected, there would be another lottery drawing for the remaining 13 teams. How's that 5x5? That's 5x13.
Yes.
If any of the teams with the five worst records didn't land one of those five spots, like last season when the teams with the first Utah Jazz, Washington Wizards seconds, and fourth New Orleans Pelicans worst records all moved back to... So last season, the Jazz, Wizards, and Pelicans had the first, second, and fourth odds. They moved back to fifth, sixth, and seventh.
Imagine that.
Cool. The lowest under this new proposal they could wind up with in the second lottery drawing would be 10th. Preventing a bad team from falling too far down the board. So you're telling me, I could still fall to 10th. That's worse than what happened last year.
That is so absurd. Let me tell you, if you notice, there's the lowest number of proposals involves 18 teams. And the reason is because when you vote on these rules, guess what happens?
The people that get the most votes. The governors, so you have to have 15 or more votes.
You know, okay, so now, you know, you got to be an idiot to say, hey, we're a playoff team, but we got a shot at this if something happens to one of our stars. Guess what? So they're setting it up to do this. It's a total BS. It is absolutely wrong, and it's not in the spirit of what we had the draft for. Forget the lottery. The draft was for the worst teams to get better. You know, and if you're silly enough, I'm going to use that, not dumb enough, silly enough to take... And you can't, you know, predict that your team might not be good. Don't trade future first round picks. Don't do that. In the NFL, there's in our pro football, there is hardly ever a first round pick. Hardly ever one traded. They trade. They have seven rounds, and second to seventh are traded. Third and fourth round picks are very valuable. Because there's bigger teams. There's 53 players on the roster. But it's the first round picks are holy. We have only two rounds. I would suggest don't trade first round picks.
So Adam Silver is coming out in these press conferences and saying it's urgent that we address this tanking issue. No, he said the decision needs to be made at the ownership level. It has business implications, basketball implications, and it has integrity implications for the league. I think if you're worried about the league's integrity, I covered the Milwaukee Bucks versus LA Clippers game today. For one whole quarter of this game, the game was not fully, it was not full screen. It was in a little box, and then there was a box of the commentators and a giant box with the FanDuel logo. So when we talk about the integrity of the, and also throughout the rest of the game, on the scoreboard at the bottom, it was constantly updating odds on prop bets. If we're worried about the implications of the league, stop partnering with gambling companies that are causing people to lose their money and their livelihoods. It is destroying society. That's what I think about the integrity of the league. I think a terrible team losing a bunch of games and getting the best pick in a draft is not a question of integrity.
Yeah, integrity means you're cheating, okay? You lose games doesn't mean you're cheating. You got a bad damn team. That's what it means, okay?
So this is what I wonder, right? If we're going to talk about how urgent it is to address tanking because of the integrity of the league.
You know, the White House, our White House always says, they always put in the caveat, and for national security purposes, I'm surprised we didn't include that. For national security purposes, we have to change the draft.
So we are it's such big news. We've got to talk about it. This is what we've got to do. We've got to fix tanking. What we're not going to do is update anyone on Terry Rozier being arrested by the FBI for gambling or Chauncey Billups being investigated for gambling. What we're not going to do is talk about Kawhi Leonard's contract and how he got paid off the books, allegedly. What we're not going to do is look at a pattern of guys who commit certain crimes but are still playing in the NBA. There's a whole list of integrity things that we could be talking about before we get to tanking, but all of a sudden it's urgent we address tanking. It's affecting the integrity of the league.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't either. And it's a dangerous word to use, integrity, I think, you know, right now. Is the game being played hard? Are the players competing? Are the referees doing a good job? You know, that's the integrity of the league, in my opinion, you know, and that's what I'm concerned about. Those two instances. There has to be a winner and a loser every time two teams in any sport play, unfortunately.
I'm going to say this, Coach, because I'm not a snitch, so I'm not going to say any names.
Okay.
I watched a game. One team is up by 14 points. And it's a good team. Superstar players on the team. They're up 14 points, right? And their bench is in. The young guys are in the game. They're winning. And one young guy takes a three at the end of the game. So now instead of winning by 11, they win by 14 points. Now you would think that these guys would celebrate their teammate. Maybe it's his first career three-pointer. I don't know what it was, right? You'd think they would celebrate that. I want to know why everyone on the bench, including a max contract face of the league, one of the faces of the league, I'm not talking about LeBron, if that's what people think when I say face of the league, one of the faces of the league, they're all looking distraught. Why? And they're all talking to each other on the bench, and you can see, you can read their lips, and one of them says, the spread was 11 and a half.
Jeez.
So if we're going to talk about integrity, the NBA brought to you by DraftKings, the NBA brought to you by ESPN Bet, the NBA brought to you by FanDuel, that's what I would want to talk about if we're going to sit here on a podium and talk about integrity. Because when people see that, now if that was to happen to go viral and people were to put it out there and it was to hit the news, then all of a sudden you're going to have a real problem. Because if you lose your actual integrity of the games, no one's going to watch anymore. That's integrity. Teams being bad, like I look at it like this, because when people talk about tanking, they always throw the Pelicans' name in the tanking thing. The Pelicans don't own their draft pick. They have nothing to gain by being bad. They're just bad. They've had a whole bunch of injuries. They haven't been fully healthy. When they have been healthy, let's talk about the Pelicans in a sec, Coach. But they're just bad. And like, Joe Dumas, I got love for you, but your team has just been bad this year. You've had injuries. You've had guys in and out of the lineup. You couldn't get it together. You couldn't win. So if you hadn't traded your draft pick, you'd be rewarded with a nice player in the draft. That's how this system works. That's how it's always worked. That's how it should work. We don't need 18 teams having ping pong balls. We don't need none of that. Just reward. I wouldn't say reward, but the teams who are rubbish, they need the help to get better. Otherwise, they're never going to get better. And what I love about the NBA, and when people ask me about the NBA here in England, right? They say, why do you love the NBA so much? I give a whole list of reasons. But one of my favorite reasons to love the NBA is in football, the good teams are always good. Man City, Chelsea, Arsenal, Man United, Liverpool are always pretty much, with the odd exception, they're always going to be at the top of the table. Real Madrid, Barcelona, always going to be at the top of the table. Bayern Munich, always going to be at the top of the table. But the NBA is a beautiful league because one day you're king of the hill and 10 years later you're at the bottom of the pack, but one day you're going to be at the top of that hill again. Now, of course, there are some exceptions. Some teams who have been historically bad, some teams have been historically good. There are other factors that weigh in. But everyone has the chance. And that's what I think is beautiful about the system of the worst teams getting the best pick.
Yeah, and can I remind our listeners to my proposal when this first thing came out?
Please do.
My thing was, and it holds the truth, but it's almost the truth every year where there's teams that, 5 to 6 teams that are really having rough years. And by that, I mean, we got several teams that are, you know, basically under 20 wins, mm-hmm. right, for the year. And yep. So, you know, my thing was 5 or 6 teams, the worst 5 or 6 teams, we put you no additional balls, just your bad teams. So I don't want teams at the end of the year trying, if you have 16 wins, to go 15 straight games to lose at the end of the year. Just if you're a bad team, you're a bad team. Then it's even odds. And we pick a ball out 1 through 6 and luck of the draw. you get either 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. Then the next eight teams that did not make the playoffs, you people go in the order of your records.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, if you're still a bad team, and then we go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Simple. We don't have to worry about we don't need any secret accountants from any big eight accounting firms in a room with clandestine thing. You can do that stuff right out in the open.
Because it's so fair and even that we do it secretly behind closed doors and we don't even video it in a world where everything's on video. Trust us that the accountant we pay is making sure everything is fair.
Yeah, and it's all mathematical formulas that only the people that work in analytics in the league understand.
Yeah, I actually have solved the formula, Coach. I have figured out the method to get the number one pick in the NBA draft. Would you like to know?
Sure.
What you do is you take your best player, you wrap him in gift wrap, you put a bow on the top, you send him to the Lakers because the next year you're getting the number one pick. Trade them Anthony Davis, you get the number one pick. Trade them Luka Doncic, you get the number one pick. Give the Clippers Chris Paul, you get a number one pick. So just take your superstar, send him to LA, and you will receive the luck of the lottery because it's not fixed. It's the luck of the lottery.
I like that. Whew, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I've sold any NBA teams who want me to be their GM. I will trade your superstar to LA, and I will get you the number one pick.
Here's the problem, Mo. You have a bad team and you have no superstar. The Lakers don't want them. You know. Good idea, though. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I mentioned the Pelicans just now, saying that they've not been healthy and so on and so forth. Since February 5th, they're above 500. February 5th being the trade deadline.
They're really doing a good job competing every night for the most part.
They're 12-10 since the trade deadline.
Pretty good.
DeJounte Murray came back and he's been really good for them.
Yep.
Sadiq Bey has been really good for them. Zion Williamson's finally got healthy and had a healthy stretch of games. He's been good for them. Derek Green kind of hit the rookie wall a little bit, which has been tough for him, but he's still figuring it out. Jeremiah Fears has been really good for them as well.
Right.
What are you seeing in New Orleans? You had an interesting stat about Zion Williamson as well that you were telling me earlier.
Well, I think, you know, the thing with Zion, I think he's one of the great, great talents in the league. And he has not shown to be a great player yet because of his health. But he's one of the great talents in the league, and there is a difference between the two. But when we talk about field goal percentage in this league, it's an amazing thing. So the top 10 players in our league that have a field goal percentage, every single one of them basically is a center, with Giannis being the lone exception, except for Zion Williamson. Zion Williamson is like 6th or 7th, shooting over 60% from the floor. And that's an amazing stat for a guy that doesn't shoot. Giannis takes a lot of stuff around the basket, does shoot a few outside shots. But we're talking about Rudy Gobert is the number one field goal percentage shooter in the league.
And all of his shots are 2 feet away from the hoop.
And Ayton. DeAndre Ayton's number two.
All alley-oops.
Yeah. And Jalen Duren, friend of the, you know, one of the favorites of our program, you know, he's number three. You know, Jared Allen, Cleveland is 4. Your guy, your center from Boston,
Kato.
Name is Kato. He's 5th. You know, Giannis and Zion. Zubac, who hasn't played that much this year, he's there. Jokic.
Of course.
And even our friend Claxton from Brooklyn.
Wow.
Who I don't think has ever made a shot outside of 3 feet in his life.
Yep.
He's 10. You know, and shooting 57%. So it's an interesting stat, but credit to Zion, who's really got game. And if he's healthy, this is a guy that I think, you know, we always thought this, people don't like him because he's undersized and stuff, but I'm telling you, he's the real deal if he's healthy.
Yeah. And fingers crossed he can finally get healthy. I've been seeing a lot of things this week, actually, Coach. I can't believe we didn't talk about this yet. Because in a league where everyone's worried about tanking and a third of the league being bad, the solution to that, obviously, is to expand the league and add 2 more teams, meaning each squad loses some players from their roster and they go over to another team. And so they're talking about expanding the league to Las Vegas and Seattle. Fantastic if you own an NBA team. Brilliant stuff. You're going to make, I think it's $666.6 million because the buy-in fee is like $12 billion for the new owners, and then that money gets distributed amongst the current owners, right?
I think it's going to be 8 to 10 million per team.
Oh, wow. So even more.
$18 million. I look at it, $18 million minimum.
Okay. So nice moneymaker for the current owners. Then typically in expansion drafts, because they do a draft when they expand the league, if you guys didn't know, you can protect 8 players currently on their roster.
Correct.
And all the other players in the league are up for grabs, and Seattle and Las Vegas will take turns picking.
And free agents, of course, don't have to be put on a protected list because they're free agents.
Yep.
And you can't draft a free agent, so you can just sign one.
Yep.
So they don't really even get – you get to protect more than 8 players if you have free agents in essence, you know.
Yeah. So they're going to expand the league. Seattle and Las Vegas. Seattle, I'm super happy. You know, the fans in Seattle are so passionate. So many great basketball players come from that part of America as well, the Pacific Northwest. Las Vegas, powered by FanDuel. What's the team name going to be? The Las Vegas DraftKings. I don't know what the team name is going to be, but that's going to go really well. But I've been seeing all of these people put out these mock drafts of who Vegas and Seattle will take.
I haven't seen those yet.
They're terrible because I'm convinced the people who write those don't watch basketball, because I saw one where Zion Williamson is like the first pick.
Well, it's three years from now too.
Yeah.
Right?
I saw one where Anthony Davis is the first pick in a mock draft, and I'm like, sure. Someone with a brand new franchise is going to pick to pay Anthony Davis's current contract out of free will.
His contract will be over by then.
Yeah,
anyway,
so that's my point. That's what I mean. These people don't know. But yeah, so that's what I've been seeing is a lot of people are like, oh, well, if the draft was now, they'd not protect Zion and he would go. I don't know, man. He's got pretty good.
So are you basically suggesting that you don't think Seattle and the Las Vegas team will be good? They won't be playoff teams probably initially?
No, but guess what, Coach? They may be one of the 22 teams with draft lottery odds to get the number one pick.
No, think about this. No. They will be the two worst teams, and then they will be accused of tanking. So they will take that away from them.
Yep, so they're going to say it's damaging the integrity. You've joined our league and you're tanking. How dare you?
So, I mean, you know, when you pay $800 million, $8 billion, you should be able to finish last. I mean, at least to get a good pick out of it. But that's, so 32 teams in the league.
Timberwolves going east.
So it's going to be quite interesting to see, how that all works out. Don't have any insider information. You know, people think it's going to be Memphis or New Orleans. I personally think it's going to be Minnesota.
Makes sense geographically. Because then they can be in a conference with Milwaukee and Indiana and Chicago.
Yeah. So I just think that's a possibility. But, you know, frankly, it doesn't really matter. I think Memphis, you know, should move possibly to Nashville if they allow them to relocate to get to a great, great city with a lot of money in it, help them out. You know, but relocation is a separate item than expansion, and you just can't relocate. If you want to, you have to go through a process also.
Yeah, but
no fee is really pretty much charged.
Do you think the league's at a place where it needs to expand?
I do. I really do. Yeah, I really do. I think we have a lot of great young players. And, you know, we basically have 18 players on a team now with two-way contracts. And if you watch our G League teams play, there's some really good players there.
Yeah.
And a lot of good players, as we know, guys that could be on rosters go to Europe and play. Mm-hmm. So I think there's some real talent. I'm a person that likes players having jobs. I like people having coaches having jobs.
Yeah, no, I was going to say I think it's fantastic for the local economy of these cities. People are going to get jobs working in the arenas, working for the team, so on and so forth. Community outreach programs, that's great. But the teams are going to be bad. For a little while.
Sure they will.
When they come in. I think people need to be prepared for that part of things because it's not like you're going to be able to just take Victor Wembanyama from the Spurs.
And what I would do is I would really hope that they allow those teams. We usually allow them to come in, but we don't even let them use a full salary cap. We kind of wean them in. I think they should let them come in and be able to, whatever the cap is, let them have that so they can stock their team at least with some older free agent players or acquire some players in a trade of big contracts. You know,
yeah, or outbid someone for a player on the free agency market.
Yeah, because I'll tell you what, you go to Seattle or Vegas, those are destinations. Mm. They're going to be favorite places for people to go to. So I think it could be really good if they allow them to do that. So it's going to be quite interesting. I'm actually, I've always been a proponent of expansion. I've been through all the expansions in the league.
Wow.
Orlando, Miami, Minnesota, Dallas, et cetera, Charlotte, when they came in. I've been through them all.
Yeah.
So I like it.
I think it's funny that...
I think I came in the league, there were 22 teams, I think.
That's crazy. I think it's funny because a lot of these kids try and discredit former players and they say so-and-so played in a watered-down era because there was just expansion. I can't wait to be the old guy telling them whoever their favorite players are right now when the league expands. Yeah, but you played in a watered-down league.
Hey, I tell you what, those checks won't be watered down for those players.
Oh, hell no. No, it's going to go crazy.
No, it's going to be exciting, though. I'm happy the league did it. I really am.
Anything else that you want to talk about while we're here, Coach?
You know, I was thinking also assists. I'm a big team guy, and I love guys that pass. And assists are always – it's a guard category. I mean, every year, it's back in the day, it's Jay Kidd, it's Isaiah, it's Chris Paul, it's Russell Westbrook. All the guards are always winning that. You know, and this year, you know, we had Kate Cunningham is up there. Luka Doncic, even though he's the leading scorer in the league, the guy's third in assists. You know, he's a phenomenal passer. But the thing that really gets me, and OBJ's client, Isaiah Collier, is in the top 10. You know, he really hadn't a good year in Utah. But the guy that's the number one in the NBA in assists is old man River, Nikola Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, are you ready for this? Mm-hmm. Over one assist more than Kate Cunningham. 10.5 assists a game for a center. Absolutely insane.
That is crazy to think. Yeah. He's doing that all from the center position.
And number one in rebounds.
When you were talking about the stats earlier, I was thinking about this. When we're talking about the rebounding stats, who's leading, how many is Jokic leading the league with?
He's got 12.5 rebounds a game.
Okay. And then it's all centers on that list.
And Towns is second. And then we go all the way down to about the sixth or seventh spot. And then it's Jalen Johnson, who I think is one of the best 15 players in the league from Atlanta. He is up there in rebounds and assists and scoring. I mean, the guy is amazing.
Do you know what's really impressed me? Since Jason Tatum has returned, his rebounding has been astronomical. He's averaging 9.5 rebounds a game. His shot has still not been falling. He's still getting his legs under him. But he has been cleaning the glass like there's no tomorrow. He's been on an absolute heater. Tonight against the Hornets, he finished with 32 points. He's kind of broken out a little bit from that slump. He shot 5 of 10 from downtown. But his rebounding, like the fact that this guy's come back wanting to be the superstar that he was, and he just bought into the team first mentality. Like there was a game against Phoenix, the game against OKC, where down the stretch of the game, he was happy to be off ball, let Jaylen Brown do what he's doing. And I just think that speaks volumes to what the culture Joe Mazzulla has built with those guys and what they're doing. But his rebounding has really stood out to me.
You know, one of our shows we have to coming up, because you have to, all these awards, as you know well, are you a voter for the awards?
No, I'm not. No,
you should be. I'll see if I can get that through for you.
I appreciate you.
Is that our coach of the year. And we'll talk about that. And I think there's some fantastic coaching going on this year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
I saw someone suggest they should do an all-coach team instead of coach of the year because they think five guys are deserving. I don't like that because, again, it's a participation trophy. You've got to have a winner, and that's it. But
yeah,
I agree with the sentiment that there are so many great coaches.
Yeah, I think there are. But, we got Mazzulla up there. J.B. Bickerstaff has been absolutely phenomenal. You know, I just think we have a lot of good coaches. And Mark Daigneault, he won it a couple of years ago. But, I mean, just the idea, the pressure to keep on being great this year. and a rookie coach of the year. How about Mitch Johnson at San Antonio, yep. really? I mean, just to come in replacing a legend like Popovich and to come in with now a healthy Wimby, I know that helps. But I'll tell you what, he's got some young guys running around there.
And, yep.
And I'm not saying he should be most improved player, but this guy is so close to being my all-pro 15 is Stephon Castle.
Yep.
I love this guy. I mean, he's absolutely a phenom.
Amazing on defense as well.
Oh, I mean, and if they win it this year, it's going to be because of the defense that he plays on the other team's ball handlers.
Mm-hmm.
For them to beat Shea or any of the guards in the East, it's going to be because of the pressure that he can control the ball. Or if they can get through Anthony Edwards or Doncic or any of those guys mm-hmm. on that side.
Yeah. Well, that's another week here at the Hoop Genius Podcast. Stay tuned because on Thursday we have a very, very exciting episode. We're not going to say too much. Just tune in for that one. And I hope you enjoyed last week's episode with Tony. That was a real interesting one. He had some real stories there, Coach.
Oh, he's an amazing guy. I mean, we could do a prime five-part series with that guy, a Netflix thing. He and in international, this guy is absolutely amazing. I think he's so fascinating. The best thing with Tony Ronzoni is to go to dinner with him and for 2 hours just listen to him. Just order some beverages and some food, and he will just entertain you for hours. He is just fantastic. And if the NBA doesn't cancel our program after this week, after we just trash their suggestions, maybe they'll invite us to their next Board of Governors meeting in May so that we can help them out.
I will finally get rid of the tracksuits, and I'll turn up in a three-piece suit. How about that, Coach?
Oh, yeah.
You won't believe your eyes.
They won't either. Yeah, it'd be pretty good.
But yeah, shout out to the NBA. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. It was great working with you.
hey, what do we say? Integrity, but also you got to have a sense of humor. This is entertainment.
Do you know what's really sad, right? So there's this app, it's called like Real Sports, right? And it has like, it's good for box scores and stuff, right? And today I discovered there's a live chat feature on the app.
Oh boy.
And you can see what people are talking about. So you click on a certain game to get the scores, but you can also see the chat. Clicks on the chat, and there was thousands upon thousands of messages of people either celebrating or being completely devastated about the spread of the game that they bet on. It was like someone bet on plus 13.5 and someone bet on 14.5, and I think the Clippers won by 14 or whatever. And like people are just like saying the most insane things about the players, and I don't know, it's pretty dangerous. That's all I'm saying.
I've heard for the first time, and I never thought about it, players and their wives saying, you cannot believe the things that we see on social media threatening us.
Yep, I saw it today, first time.
I'll be honest with you, I never even thought of anything like
that.
You know, people, until I saw it.
There was a video of someone stopping Jimmy Butler in the street and harassing him because of
not a good
something that they've been on. And
not
I was like, well,
stop.
They were in a car, so they drove off.
Oh, yeah.
They weren't getting out of that car. But yeah, I just, you know, I'm just getting tired of being constantly inundated with gambling propaganda and knowing the damage that it can do to a community and to individuals. And I just think at some point, if we like to use the word integrity, we should have some. That's all.
Yeah, and I never, full disclosure, I have never gambled on a sporting event in my life, ever. So in my contract as an NBA coach, I'm not allowed to, but I never have when I even wasn't coaching. First of all, I don't have enough money to gamble, nor do I think it's, and I can sometimes sit there as an NBA coach and I could see during the season, I could say, here's a mismatch, the best team in the league playing a not too good a team. And I'd say, I joke and I'd say, I'd bet the house on that game. And sure enough, as much as I know, that team would lose that night.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
just happens. It happens because guess what? Guys miss shots, players make plays, stuff. Interesting thing today, in the games that were played today in the NBA, several of them were off the books. No gambling on the game because the spread. There were teams that were, frankly, you know, possibly lottery teams, and they didn't want to mess with a high spread, and they just didn't want to even put that on. That's an interesting thing when there's no line on the game.
Yeah.
And that tells you a lot, I think.
I'm curious to see if anyone had the line of the Raptors beating the Magic by 51 points.
No way.
Yep. 139 to 87 after the Raptors started on like a 30-31-0 run or something crazy.
You ready for this one?
Go on.
Do you know what the line on that game was?
No.
Raptors were favored by 2.5. 2.5.
Yeah.
And you know what? You say, that's a pretty good bet. They're at home, right? I think they were at home tonight, right? Yeah, they were at home. That's a not bad bet. Orlando's pretty good, though. Orlando's not as good. Toronto's not as good at home as you think they would be north of the border. But you know what? 51 points. Did they seriously win by that, Mo?
139 to 87.
See, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Hey, and as my friend Brian Scalabrini, friend of the program, great, great broadcaster, says, no shenanigans were involved. That's what he calls it, shenanigans. I don't know where he ever got that. You know, no shenanigans. It just happens some night. I don't know who. I haven't looked at the box yet to see who was out for Orlando. You know, heck, they might have had several players.
They were missing Anthony Black, Jonathan Isaac, and Franz Wagner, who's been out for time. So just Anthony Black, because Jonathan Isaac
Anthony Black and Franz Wagner. Yeah, that's a
but
lot.
Toronto was nothing. Missing. How about this though? Toronto was missing Brandon Ingram, Emmanuel Quickley, Colin Murray-Boyles.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, my God. See, this is what I'm saying. So, we want the integrity
save
game.
Your money, people. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, we want the integrity game, prevail, and let's just let everything fall where it may. Let's not make a big deal out of this thing. And I agree with Mo about the integrity.
Yes, sir. Well, that's another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. We'll be back on Thursday with a very special guest episode. And until next time, get buckets.